wonderful, wonderful station. Just take a lively companion wherever you go. Take a portable radio. Take a portable radio.
The Radio Stuff Show, episode 79. Hi there, I'm Larry Gifford, radio consultant and talent coach at LarryGifford.com. Coming up in this episode.
If I'm going to talk about broadcast, I haven't heard anything recently on broadcast radio that's exciting me much about the future.
No more records, just phone calls.
We were just told that we're all out of work in a month.
Oh my God, they're talking!
This is a weekly show about radio for radio, available on SoundCloud, TuneIn, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you download your podcasts. You can find all 79 episodes only at RadioStuffPodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at The Radio Stuff. Our top story. This week we celebrate Thanksgiving in the United States, and I wanted to give thanks to the truth tellers of radio. The truth tellers of radio. You heard me. The men and women who aren't afraid to say it like it is. To look into your eye and tell you you can do better. The ones who call bullshit. The gals who have the unpopular opinions about this radio industry. Truth tellers don't give enough credit. Maybe I'm saying that because I've been accused of being one, for good or for bad, but I've had some good role models for it. And oftentimes, we don't appreciate truth-telling until years afterwards, because in the moment, it stings. You know, if you do the tarot cards, truth-telling is represented by the swords cards, because it can hurt. When you get stabbed by the truth, it hurts. One of the earliest influences in my radio career died this week, and he was a truth-teller. In Columbus, Ohio, Bob Connors was morning radio. For 33 years, he hosted mornings on 610 WTVN. I used to listen to him in the morning as a school student because that's the station my parents listened to for weather and news and Bob, BC as they called him. And I think that was the only station that our kitchen radio was ever turned to.
BC in the morning, Bob Connors wakes you up on 610.
Good morning,
WTVN.
Bob's tenure as the morning monarch began in 1978 when he replaced the retiring John Frame. Since then, he has consistently hosted the morning show for an unprecedented 33 years, being there through six presidents and five Ohio State football coaches.
I've heard a lot of tunes on here. I'm glad I remember them. I heard some others I'm sorry I remembered. Some of them I don't want to remember, I guarantee you that. Yeah. I'd like not to remember last night, too. I guarantee you that double. Uh-oh.
And as far as the talk radio part of it, that started on Saturday morning, when we would play like four records an hour and then some phone calls, and then three records an hour and phone calls, and I don't recall when the decision was made, you know, no more records, just phone calls.
His hard work ethic has made Bob an institution in Central Ohio through good times and bad, from Rally in the Alley to Heineygate. Apollo 11 or 9/11, Bob was there for us.
Bob's the guy that's like, look, what do we know? When did we know it? What do we want to do with it? How are we going to proceed? And that's the calming, steady nature of how he handles those things. Intense moments and excitable moments. There's something comforting over the last 40 years waking up and hearing, you know, the same morning guy that's been doing it, you know, deliver the headlines of the day and the weather and just everything's right with the world. I mean, the world may be messed up, but there's something right that this guy is on the radio in Columbus, Ohio this morning.
When you say Bob Connors, from young to old, everybody knows who he is.
Well, I mean, his longevity is remarkable. There'll never be anybody work here, including me, in this market that long again.
And it's been a privilege as the head football coach to be covered by Bob and discuss things with him.
I don't think anybody could have done it any better.
You know, I'm going to miss a cheery face coming in here and greeting me at 4:30 every morning.
We're really losing something in this town having him move on.
I'm proud to have worked with Bob. I really am.
This was the place. I was never looking to go anywhere else from here. It's just been remarkable.
As luck would have it, I got my first break at WTVN. I was producing nights, running a board on the weekend overnight. I snuck my way on the air after a while. And eventually, one day, happened quite by accident, I found myself filling in for the Morning Monarch.
WTVN, it's 5:43 on the Giant. It's 17 minutes until 6 o'clock at WTVN. Good morning. I'm Larry Gifford in for Bob Connors. John Lane will be in right at 7 o'clock. He's sleeping in a little bit through this new year. I'm going to razz him about that a little bit. But, you know, this is the time of year where everybody comes out with their predictions for 1993, and the Procrastinators Club of America is out with their New Year's predictions. Among other things, the club predicts the vice president will slip on a potato. A Texan with big money and big ears to match will run for president. Things will get hot in more ways than one at Windsor Castle, and the president will visit Japan and graphically display his views of Japanese trade policy by throwing up on the host. Of course, since it is the Procrastinators Club of America, the predictions are for 1992, not 1993.
610 WTVN. I went on to be the morning show reporter, the fill-in traffic reporter, and a news anchor, and I worked with Bob Connors. What a thrill. That was the pinnacle of my career at the moment. And I remember Bob Connors as an authority, the voice of Columbus, a guy who was direct, professional, very dry. As a 19-year-old, it was tough to tell if he hated me, was razzing me, or testing my mettle. He was willing to help out aspiring broadcasters, though. He even spoke to our radio staff at Otterbein College, now Otterbein University, upon my request. And his message was clear. Don't study broadcasting. Study everything else. Read the classics, he said. Understand politics and government and learn history. Be a great writer, but don't study broadcasting. You can imagine it was a bit jolting to young, impressionable broadcast students whom most of had chosen as their college major. But he was right. Anyone can learn how to broadcast. It's what each individual brings to that broadcast that makes it special. So learn the classics, understand politics and government, and learn history, and be a great writer, and all those things. Be curious about the world. And thanks, Bob Connors, for being one of the earliest truth tellers in my radio career.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. East Coast, West Coast, in between, it's radio that makes the scene.
Our giving thanks to truth tellers continues here on the radio stuff, and I'm thankful for truth teller Perry Michael Simon over at allaccess.com. He's the VP of News Talk and Sports. He crawls out of bed at 3 a.m. Pacific to make sure folks on the East Coast have fresh industry news and morning topics. He hauls himself to conferences around the country to track trends and discussion. He's a true fan of radio, who's a bit like that tough professor you had in college who gave you B's all the time because she knew you could do better. Well, I caught up with Perry recently for a chat about radio and sort of turned the tables on him a little bit. Here's our conversation. So, sitting here at the beautiful Hermosa Beach Pier with one Perry Michael Simon, who is famous for his All Access 10 questions, and we're going to turn the tables.
Oh, boy.
10 questions with Perry Simon.
I'm in trouble.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So, first off, just a brief overview of your radio career.
An overview. Well, I went to law school. Actually, no, I have to back that up. When I was in high school, I started working in cable television at UA Columbia Cablevision, which became USA Network. The division I was in became USA Network, and I went with the network, and I worked for them for a couple years while I was in college. I went to law school because I had the idea that having a law degree would help in business, and it actually did, because out of law school, I wound up working for Press Broadcasting in New Jersey, which owned a few radio stations and television stations, and I worked in corporate, and then when we changed WKXW in Trenton, which we had purchased in 1989, to the New Jersey 101.5 format, I was part of the team that put that on, and then became program director in 91, was there through 94, and then after a brief shot in Long Island, I went to KLSX in Los Angeles. I was a program director there. I was also the operations manager at Y107 in Los Angeles, and somehow and ended up at AllAccess.com, where I'm the News Talk sports editor and vice president. And later on, after I also did some production work at something called Comedy World, which is a story in and of itself, I wound up at Nerdist.com, Chris Hardwick's empire of audio, video, and online things, where I am now director of programming.
All right, so what is it about radio that you're passionate about?
I am passionate. I think the way that I look at it is that I'm not necessarily passionate about the radio in the transmission sense as much as I am about the content. I'm passionate about what radio can be, what radio can have. And I should say that radio to me is defined not by the towers and the transmitters and the licenses, but it is audio content of a certain form, and it can take the form of broadcasting. It could also take the form of streaming. It can take the form of podcasts. But just the idea of communicating and entertaining in audio form is something that I love. It's in my blood, and I've been privileged enough to have something to do with it for the last 30 years or so.
Let's just imagine here that I had a radio station, and I wanted it to be a new kind of talk station, and I hired you to be the program director. What would you do?
I would go out and I would hire a bunch of hosts who had interesting lives and a good sense of entertaining and a good sense of humor, and I'd let them talk. I would not try. First of all, I would not prescribe them to talk about politics. I also wouldn't say not to talk about politics. I would tell the staff to talk about things that actually matter to listeners, and the way to best do that is to have hosts who actually have lives outside the radio station and who have friends who are not in the radio business and who actually go and do the things that people who are not in radio and not committing talk radio, as Walter Sabo would say, would talk about. It's, you know, some people would call it water cooler talk. I think that's a kind of an archaic way of looking at it. It's more like the conversations that you have with your friends. And I would want to go in that direction. I don't think... I'm not one of the people who thinks that political talk has no place anymore. But I also think it needs to be in context of the way people live their lives. And I look at what people are doing in talk radio and I hear what's going on, and I just feel like it doesn't really connect with regular life, and it really doesn't appeal to anybody who isn't retired and doesn't have a lot of time to obsess over what Fox News and MSNBC are talking about. I have the problem now of listening to the radio and finding very little that actually appeals to me and my life. I would want to try to find, not necessarily for my life, but for the target audience, I'd want to find the kind of discussions, the kind of talk, the kind of entertainment that appeals to those people, and then just do it.
What if I gave you a music format? What would you do?
If I were programming my personal tastes, it would be a lot of, you know, alternative and indie rock. But I also know what the power ratios are in alternative right now. So it depends on the market. I would look at the market, see what the biggest holes were, and also where most of the money was and where the demos lie, and program to that. And it's not, at this point, music, because of the competition, because of having streaming and customizable music apps and just the sheer amount of music that you can get from other places, doesn't appeal to me as much for radio. But if somebody put a gun to my head and said program a music station or you're dead, just find the hole. There is in every market, there's something that somebody else isn't doing or something somebody isn't doing very well that you can do and make money on, and I guess I'd do that.
What do you listen to?
It's a combination of, I'd say, it's 60 to 70% podcasts and streaming, and the rest is a mixture of broadcast and satellite, mostly broadcast, I'd say. Because of what I do, I listen to a lot of the Nerdist Podcast Network, and I advise everybody to do the same because it's a cheap way to get a plug in here. But you know, I listen to some other podcasts and streaming. I'm kind of a dabbler. I listen to a lot of different things in the course of a day, you know, a lot of it is also while I'm doing other things, so it's just mostly multitasking, and I'm afraid that a lot of it probably just floats right past me because I'm in the middle of doing other things. And there are times when I'll have, you know, something audio, something video, and whatever I'm looking at on the computer at the same time, and I'm sure that everything is getting short shrift in terms of my attention. But I can't give you a list because it would go on forever, but it's a lot of podcasts, a lot of broadcasts, and when I get in the car, it's a lot of sports radio, oddly enough, because as anybody who follows me on Twitter knows, sports is what I think about when I'm not thinking about work. So
let's narrow it down for you. Mm-hmm. What do you hear recently, or what have you heard recently that excites you or gives you hope for the future of radio?
I have to define radio in this case as more than just broadcast, because if I'm going to talk about broadcast, I haven't heard anything recently on broadcast radio that's exciting me much about the future, so much as I listen to it and am momentarily entertained, or I feel like everything is pretty much status quo. As far as podcasts are concerned, I, at the risk of being a self-promoter, some of what we have on the Nerdist Podcast Network excites me because it's entertaining and different. Whether it's Chris interviewing people on the Nerdist Podcast and getting me to listen all the way through to people that I didn't think I had any interest in, to you know, Kumail and Emily doing the Indoor Kids show, which is about video games, and I'm not a gamer, but the show is entertaining on its own, even if you don't play games. That kind of stuff. And the prospect, I think the biggest thing is that the prospect that radio can do a lot of this stuff if it wants to, and that the game isn't over. That, I would say, that excites me.
So there was the old theory that video was going to kill the radio star. Now you hear rumblings that digital is going to kill the radio star. Is the radio star ever going to die?
No, I think it's going to be different. I think it already is different. I think if you have a business where your audience is reduced by a certain percentage and there's much more competition for the attention of your audience, sure, things are going to have to change. But that being said, radio does have a few competitive advantages, one of which is that it is very easy to use. It's ubiquitous. It's in everybody's car. It has a heritage where people are just used to using it. Those are competitive advantages. It has disadvantages. It's not customizable. It's, you know, there are limits to how many stations there are available to you over broadcast radio, and you're at the mercy as a listener of what the programmers are feeding you. But ultimately, these are all just ways of getting entertainment to people. And as long as it's available, as long as car radios still have AM and FM, or even just FM, as long as there are, you know, as long as it's easy to get it on your clock radio, as long as it's the easiest path to getting audio entertainment, it'll have a place. I just don't think it has as big a place as it used to. And I think that podcasts and streaming and the customized apps are taking a large chunk out of it, but there are still times when it's just the simplest thing to just turn on the radio and hear what's there. And I think that and the idea of curation of music and things like that are going to keep radio viable. Maybe not as viable as it used to be, maybe not as lucrative as it used to be, but it's still a major player. And I think that people who are throwing shovels of dirt on it are probably a little premature.
Would you stop feeding the birds?
The birds are a feature, not a bug. We are outside to describe it. We are under a line of palm trees on Pier Plaza in Hermosa Beach, and it's my fault that we're here because I live nearby and I like being over by the ocean, but it is not conducive to doing radio.
So you mentioned something a few minutes ago that left me stunned in my tracks.
Okay.
You mentioned a two-word phrase that I haven't heard in several years, clock radio. Do you own a clock radio?
As a matter of fact, I do, but it took me, and I think I wrote about this a while back, it took me a while to find it. I did not want, because I tend not to charge my phone by my bedside. I leave it in my office, and I use the phone as a clock radio on the road. But, as you get older, one of the things that's really important is to be able to read the clock in the middle of the night. And my problem is that the phone face, even though I have a iPhone 6 Plus on order, that's still it doesn't glow all night, and it's not going to be big enough for me to read. So I wanted something that had big numbers. And truthfully, the radio part was secondary, especially since where I live, FM is a coin flip of whether you'll get any stations or not. I live in an area that's blocked off by a mountain from the Los Angeles signals, and San Diego, it depends on which way the wind is blowing. So I'm basically the only station that I can guarantee will come in is KNX, which is 50,000 watts. It's about 10 miles away from my house, and it's non-directional, and it comes through the light fixtures. So I have to leave it on that just because it's the only reliable signal, and that's how I wake up. But actually, I tend to wake up about 10 minutes before the alarm goes off anyway. So the main thing I was looking for was a clock with really big-ass numbers so that I could see it in my haze without my glasses on. And I found one. It took me a lot of work because even on Amazon, it seems like I wasn't finding a lot of them that had AM, for one thing, and I needed AM just for that, just because it was the only station I can get. I needed the big numbers. I needed I didn't need a charging station, and I wanted it to be really cheap. And I think I found it at Best Buy, but it probably will be the last, because I would imagine that the next time I go out and buy one, it'll be a docking station for a cell phone. And on the road, I almost exclusively use the phone, because I don't know if you've been in a hotel room lately and tried to set the alarm. Especially, I'm always amused by the phones that have the wrong time on them, but don't give you the ability to change the time.
Right, that's nice.
So they're useless. It's basically a doorstop, but with a cord on it, because they don't want you to steal it, which, like anybody's going to steal that, the hotel alarm clock. But I actually use an alarm clock, and it's because in the middle of the night, with no focus to my eyes, I need to be able to read the time.
So you mentioned being on the road, and one of the great perks of your job is that you get to travel around to all these great radio conferences.
Yeah.
What is the most memorable performance by a presenter this year?
This year, I don't really think I've got one, because it's been pretty uneventful. I think I'd say that
there
were
two. Think about it. Think about it.
I would say, well, there were two memorable ones, but they don't fit into the year. One is, I think, BJ Shea. Anytime that BJ talks, and I was not at Morning Show Boot Camp this year. I understand that he gave a pretty interesting speech, but he's been to Talk Show Boot Camp, and every time he grabs the mic, it's an adventure, and I mean that in a good way. He challenges people to think. He is highly opinionated, and I would say that if you see that he's going to be at a convention, he's worth the price of admission. The other one was my own, when I went to Talkers in Los Angeles last year and told people what I thought and got the kind of reaction I expected, which was a sea of dropped jaws and sadly shaking heads and general disbelief, which is pretty much my goal when I'm talking to a crowd. I guess some people would say that means it didn't go well. I kind of figure that if I have shocked and alienated the audience, I've done my job. So,
all right. So for people who are headed to a radio convention in the next 12 months,
yes,
what are some tips of survival?
Let's see. Number one, both because I have to, because I need to find a plug, and because I prefer it, I sit toward the back. You don't get the best view, but you can hear everything, and in case you need to escape, you can do it very quickly. Do find a seat near a plug, but only after I've already found mine. Convention halls and hotels tend to be short on that, and you will need it to charge your phone because you will be using it constantly during the convention to check your email, surf the web, and find something of interest, because the panels aren't always all that interesting. Do something I always forget to do, which is throw a few candy bars or something like that in your bag, because food will sometimes be unavailable and you will get hungry. What else? And if all else fails, just drift to the back of the room and find me. I'm usually, half watching the convention and half trying to figure out what my escape route's going to be, and I'm always happy to have company.
And if they read your name tag and then go, oh, I move on, you'll blog about it.
I'm the king of people scanning my badge, realizing that I'm not important, and moving on. I've been going to conventions for really, probably 25 years or so, and I still, no matter how much I do in the business, I do tend to get a lot of people who are unfamiliar with me and will look at my badge and decide that I'm not worth talking to, but they tend to make a show of it. Like, it's almost like they have to, sometimes I think that they may know who I am and decide that they need to prove to me that I'm not important, so they will roll their eyes and sigh and move on, or do something like that. And or another favorite, when I'm working at a table in the back, use the area that is adjacent to me as a trash receptacle. So yeah, you figure after 30 years in the business, you get more respect. I don't. But that's okay, because the check's clear, and that's I don't really care if people are not all that impressed by me, because I'm not impressed by them either, so it doesn't matter.
All right, so last questions here.
Yeah.
Best advice, worst advice?
Oh, man. I ask that of everybody, and I don't have any I don't have any answer for that, because I have to think about that. But I think, the best advice, and I don't know who gave it to me, but I'd say is that you have to go through life with an F it attitude. And what I mean by that is, nothing is as bad as you think it is at the time, unless it involves health, unless it involves death, unless it involves something really serious. If it's a typical career thing, people recover from total career disaster. You can survive practically anything. And the best way to get through all of it is to just realize, this is all going to pass. The good stuff and the bad stuff is all transitory. And at some point, you're going to be, years down the line, and you're going to forget this, or it's just going to be an amusing anecdote. So, F it. Just don't worry about it. The worst advice, I think I would say that the people who told me, don't go on the air, don't show what you can do on a creative level, just produce the shows, just manage the business, I think that was the worst advice, and unfortunately I followed it to some extent, because it was only much, much later that I was able to start writing and showing people what I could do, and that went very well, and I just wish I had done it many years before, but I was warned against it. There were even times when my general manager would say, I don't want you talking to the press. I don't want your name in the newspaper. And I realized it was because he wanted his name in the newspaper and not because it was there was any danger to me getting my name out there. And I think that if I had gotten my name out there, I might have actually been up for more jobs along the way than I was. I mean, it worked out. In the end, it worked out very well, and I'm happy. And it's hard to get too upset with what I'm doing now. But I do think that there were times when I derailed myself because I was deferential to the kind of, don't make waves, don't say anything, don't put yourself out there, don't show what you can do kind of attitude that I was told to have. So that's probably the worst.
And now it's kind of poignant that you rely on those PDs that have the wherewithal and the chutzpah to disavow their general managers to go on the record with you.
And yes, that's true. But I also think that there are general managers who are open to it, and then there are general managers who are a little tighter about that. And along the way, I've had some great managers. The management at New Jersey 101.5 and WJLK before that were great guys. Bob McAllen and John DeZuba, and I'll call them out by name. They spoiled me for a lot of what came after that, because they were so creative and open to things, and that's how New Jersey 101.5 happened, just because they were open to it when Walter Sabo walked in with the audacious plan. And I learned a lot from them. And then as I got to bigger and bigger markets, I discovered that Bob and John were not in every market, unfortunately. So I had to deal with a lot of different types of managers. And now I'm very lucky because I work for Joel Denver at All Access and Chris Hardwick at Nerdist. And those are two guys I would basically run through a brick wall for. And I'm proud to work with them. And they're incredibly good guys. And so I've been lucky. You know, I had to go through some stages with some people. But if the end result is 17 years with Joel and the last, I don't know how many years, 5 years or so with Chris, it all worked out well.
Thanks so much. Appreciate your time, telling your story, giving us some insights, and helping to support the Radio Stuff podcast.
My pleasure.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
When the truth you're being told is that you're being fired, boy, does it sting. It happened in Chicago last week. Tribune Media decided to shutter WGN.FM and Sports Talk 87.7 The Game, leaving most, if not all, the staffers on the outside looking in. Unfortunately, news leaked to the media before all the hosts were told. Ben Finfer and Alex Quigley, Quigs and Finfer, found out live on the air. Here's how some of that sounded.
Month and a half on Twitter. How is that possible? I mean, what are we doing around here? That's crap. I had respect for our bosses until about 5 minutes ago. They have not even come in the room yet to say anything. Sorry, guys, that you had to find out this way. How about something? Now we got to sit here and do a show for an hour and 40 minutes? How are we supposed to do that? I've never, ever had management treat me this way. I've never had that before. I've had some pretty good bosses. I've had some pretty bad bosses. None of them have ever treated their employees this way.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you.
You don't have to apologize. This is not your fault. You were not responsible for it. This is Jimmy DeCastro and Todd Manley, who were the guys who run this station, and told nobody. And you know, I put a lot of faith in those guys when they wanted to bring me over to this station. I was excited about it. And I think we're doing a great show, by the way.
I
think
Quiggs
and Finver is a great show. I think Cap and Haw is great. Jarrett, Harry, and Spike. I think the night game has done a great job, too.
Connor McKnight just walked in.
Yeah. And I put a lot of faith in them, and, you know, it was feeling good. And I know we know what the numbers are. Come on, we're not stupid. We knew the ratings were bad, and we know how radio works. If ratings are bad, revenue's down. That's just the way it goes.
Station was growing, not growing fast enough.
Which is fine. I understand all of that. But when you put faith in people, at the very least, you just want some respect, okay? You know, you don't. I kind of had an idea that maybe this could end at some point. You never know with radio. They could just cut ties right away, and that's what they've done. But at least respect. That's all you would have asked for. I mean, if either one of our bosses would have said, "Hey guys, sorry to tell you this, but we're not going to make it. We're shutting down in a month and a half." You know, just be aware that this could break today at any point. Just that would have been fine. Nothing. I saw those guys this morning. They were acting like everything was normal. Well, who does that? Are they even human?
Are they here?
Are they here? What are they doing? Going on vacation? I bet they'll have jobs at the end of the year.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I mean, who have you ever heard of anything like that in your life?
Yes, but it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it good.
I mean, people are texting me right now, you know, be a pro, handle with class. How are we supposed to handle this with class? Nobody else around here is. I don't even know what to do. Do we keep doing a show today? Or what do we do?
I want to keep doing a show, personally. If I only get one more month to do this, I want to keep doing it.
But how are we supposed to do a show today? What am I supposed to... We're going to go with Jake Cutler, I guess, next? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to talk to Sam Smith about the Bulls tonight? I mean, I don't care about the Bulls and the Blackhawks. We just got fired.
They're right. That's poor form on behalf of Tribune. And broadcasters need to do better. If you're going to let somebody go, I understand it happens around the holidays. It's everywhere I've worked, somehow someone's gotten laid off around the holidays. But if you're going to do it with some class and have some respect, and, you know, let them keep their dignity a bit. You know, let's all be adult around here. Have those tough conversations. Be polite, be professional. Send them off with a handshake and a pat on the back and say thanks. Because they did a lot of work for you. Even if they didn't succeed, they did work hard for you. And no Thanksgiving special would be complete without a replaying of the WKRP turkey drop. Boy, do I give thanks for this.
All right, fellow babies, and now it's time to go to our live remote man on the scene at the Pinedale Shopping Mall for the big WKRP turkey giveaway. So, take it away, Les Nessman.
This is Les Nessman, your man on the scene here at the Pinedale Shopping Center, where the excitement is mounting. We're here to witness the big WKRP turkey Thanksgiving giveaway.
Hey, you got permission to be out here?
What?
You're blocking my store here, buddy.
Don't you know who I am?
Huh?
I'm Les Nessman. I won the Buckeye NewsHawk Award last year.
Good for you, Buckeye. Now get out of my doorway.
I'm sorry. Creep.
So far, so good, huh?
I'm here with hundreds of people who have gathered to witness what has been described as perhaps the greatest turkey event in Thanksgiving Day history. All we know for sure is that in a very few moments, there are going to be a lot of happy people out here. Now, the crowd is... curious, but well-behaved. And I think I hear something now. The crowd is moving out into the parking area. And, oh yes, I can see it now. It's a helicopter. And it's coming this way.
A helicopter?
It's flying something behind it. I can't quite make it out. It's a large banner. And it says, Happy Thanksgiving. W-K-R-P. What a sight, ladies and gentlemen, what a sight. The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's
A dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet into the air. Second to the third. There's no parachutes yet.
Skydivers. I can't tell just yet what they are, but...
Oh, my God, they're turkeys! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of our eyes! One just went through the windshield of a parked car! Johnny, this is terrible. The car is running around pushing each other. Oh, my goodness! Oh, the humanity! People are running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this anymore. No, I can't go in there.
Children are searching for their mothers, and, oh, not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this. I don't know how much longer I can hold my position here, Johnny. The crowd...
Les? Les, are you there? Les isn't there. Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Les. Those of you who just tuned in, the Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkeys. Film at 11.
Look, Mr. Mayor, yes, there was some damage, sir, but no one was hurt.
Mr. Colley, we know what the Humane Society stands for.
The National Guard? No, sir, the National Guard, I don't think it's that serious.
Well, Mr. Colley, a lot of turkeys don't make it through Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, thank you very much.
Goodbye. That was the Humane Society. They sounded pretty upset.
Oh, Andy, why did you let Mr. Carlson do this?
Because it's Mr. Carlson's station.
This man must be stopped before he promotes again.
Now, listen. Mr. Carlson was here at WKRP when we were just kids. And I bet you he's going to be here long after we're all moved on.
Yeah, but Andy, look...
Now, Venus, if we cut him out, what's the point? Look, we're the young ones. And sometimes I think we're just a little bit too concerned about being number one. Now, Mr. Carlson, he... Well, he's just Mr. Carlson. He just wants to be a part of things.
It should have worked.
Can I help you?
No, I'm fine.
Hey, Mr. Carlson. What's it like to ride in a helicopter?
A lot of fun.
Mr. Carlson, could I get you a cup of coffee?
What? No, thank you, Jennifer.
We agreed?
Huh? Sir, it was the most unusual promotion idea I ever heard of. Never been anything else like it.
No, I don't suppose there has.
I thought it would work. I planned this thing right down to the last detail. It was perfect. Where'd you get those birds?
Les, are you okay?
I don't know. A man and his two children tried to kill me. After the turkeys hit the pavement, the crowd kind of scattered, but some of them tried to attack me. Jam myself into a phone booth. Then Mr. Carlson had the helicopter land in the middle of the parking lot. I guess he thought he could save the day by turning the rest of the turkeys loose. Gets pretty strange after that.
Oh, it's strange.
Yeah, right.
Now, Les, come on now, tell us the rest.
I really don't know how to describe it. It was like the turkeys mounted a counterattack. It was almost as if they were organized.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
That's Radio Stuff this week. Email me at radiostuffpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks to Perry Simon, and thanks to you for listening and supporting the Radio Stuff all year. really appreciate you listening and contributing and sending me emails and notes. I love that stuff. Keep it coming. And spread the word about the radio stuff. If you like the radio stuff, a great way to thank me is to tell your friends about it, who you think may be interested in it. All right? And read my blog and watch my Ask Larry video blog at LarryGifford.com. And if you're in need of a consultant or a talent coach, you know what to do. Think of me. Find more radio stuff at RadioStuffPodcast.com, including a really cool video, tribute video that WTVN put together for Bob Connors when he retired. If you're interested in cool radio stuff, that's a good one. It's over at RadioStuffPodcast.com. Have fun, be creative, support each other, and share your radio stuff.